Can anybody tell me what spiritual death is? Anybody? No? That's right, because it's a contradiction. Spirit is life, and death is the absence of life. So unless you can describe to me some state of lively death or deathly life, then we must cease and desist with this treacherous phrase, spiritual death. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender, starting another week of excellence here on the Revelation series, where you're learning God's mind on these matters through a detailed study of God's words. And I know the lighting is very odd today. I'm experimenting with new lighting. It's coming from above, like the sun. At least it's not this, right? But trying to imitate the sun here. The sun's barely coming up here in my laundry room in Fort Lauderdale. So I bring this up, and I brought up the phrase spiritual Israel. And all these phrases are treacherous because they assume wrong things. For instance, spiritual Israel. As if Israel needs to be any more spiritual. When God brings Israel into the kingdom, that's as spiritual as it gets. So how dare we talk about spiritual Israel? What? Yes, yeah, you're right, you're right. Yeah, that's true that there are fleshly Israelites, and there are Israelites who pursue things according to their own will, their own constitution, their own hopes, their own dreams, and there are Israelites who are spiritual. But it's not a spiritual Israelite here and a non-spiritual Israelite there that I have the issue with. I have the issue with spiritual Israel, with the nation itself, because the nation is set apart by God and it's holy. This treacherous phrase comes along when people see Paul using Israelite phrases, and he compares us to Abraham in like Romans chapter 4, and he says we're all sons of Abraham. What? No, I'm not a son of Abraham. That's not my physical lineage. He doesn't mean it literally. He means it figuratively. That is, we're sons of faith. So we're like Abraham. And Paul could say you are Abraham, and there's the treacherous metaphor again. Oh, speaking of metaphor, I heard something on the television the other day. And it was Jerry West doing a commercial. Jerry West, the former basketball star for the Los Angeles Lakers. And he says, this is what he said. My life is basketball. That's what Jerry West said on television yesterday. I ran into my office here, into the laundry room, and I wrote that down. My life is basketball. There's the perfect metaphor. Your life is basketball? You mean you're literally playing the game of basketball in your life every day. Like your house has lines on it, and there are people in the stands all the time, wherever you go when you wake up. Your life is basketball. Okay, it's a metaphor, but it's perfect. His life is so connected with the sport in which he once partook that he can say, and we all understand him, my life is basketball. What? Okay, it's a metaphor, and we all understand it. So it's like the lake of fire is the second death. What? Fire isn't death, of course, but the lake of fire causes the second death. And so we say the lake of fire is the second death. Another great metaphor here in South Florida on the television from our ex-basketball star, Jerry West. Now back to spiritual Israel. What everybody means to say is metaphoric Israel or figurative Israel. But instead they say we're spiritual Israelites, and it gives them some great title that they don't deserve. No, you're not spiritual Israel. You're figurative Israel. Sorry, it seems like a demotion. Great, I'm demoting you right now. All you spiritual Israelites out there, you're not spiritual Israelites. Real Israelites who can literally trace their lineage to Abraham, they will become spiritual Israelites, if you want, when they enter into the new covenant. Right now they are fleshly. But the nation itself is holy. It's been set apart by God. And you are no spiritual Israelites. You're merely a figure of speech. I know this is a disappointment. Oh, Harold Martin Zender just told me I'm merely a figure of speech. I thought I was spiritual. Now I'm a figure. Yeah, you're just a figure. Sorry. It's a nice figure. I'm not disparaging it. So let's go back to death now. spiritual death. We supposedly entered into spiritual death when we became born in Adam, and we were all born spiritually dead. This is a problem. This is a problem because it makes people think that death is life. And if they think that the first death, we're in the second death, right? We're talking about the second death. So there is such a thing as the first death, right? The first death. But people get the mistaken idea, I'm here to correct this today, that the first death was when Adam sinned and we all became subject to death. But no, that was the first mortality. We became mortal on that day. The famous phrase was not, on the day you eat it, you shall die. That's another treacherous translation from the King James Version and other common English versions that give us this idea of spiritual death. On the day that you eat it, you shall surely die, coming from God. But did Adam die? No. He continued to walk around, to make love to his beautiful wife, to tend the garden, to fish in the river, right? In what sense was he dead? He was not literally dead. This is the actual phrase in the Hebrew. Look at any Hebrew text. Look at the concordant version of the Old Testament. And God said, to die, you shall be dying. The word is in there twice. The King James translators scratched their little bald heads, and they couldn't make heads nor tails of it, so they said, we'll just get rid of the second one, that's what we'll do. Oh, there's two words, death, in here. No problem, we'll get rid of one of them and only leave the other. And so we'll make it, you shall die. Oh, I know what we'll do. Instead of noting that both two words, death, are in there, we'll turn one to surely. And stop calling me surely. You shall surely die. So they took one death, kept it death, translated it death. They saw the other Hebrew word for death, should have translated it death, but they couldn't understand why there were two deaths. Quite a puzzle, I would say. And so they simply made it surely, like intensified it. You shall surely die. Or it's just, it was a game. It was a mistranslation. They screwed it up big time. And because of that, now we think that there's this thing called spiritual death where Adam became detached from God, and he did, and it was terrible, but it wasn't spiritual death because, again, that's a contradiction of terms. And so to die, you shall be dying. What does that mean? To die, eventually, you shall be dying in transit, you see. So you will, to die, you shall be dying. The thing that's going to lead to your actual death will be dying, mortality. And this is why the concordant version gets this perfectly right, not only in the Genesis account, to die, you shall be dying, but they do it in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, I think. They say, as an Adam, all are dying, as an Adam, all are dying. Perfect. It's the aorist tense there, which is an ongoing thing. And it's aorist in the Greek means no horizon. A means not. It's the negative in the Greek. Rist is the horizon. And so no horizon means it's ongoing action. Some would call it the incomplete verb form, I guess. But it's not. It's a timeless fact. It's not technically the incomplete verb form. Like, incomplete verb form is ongoing action. Like, I am writing, as opposed to I wrote and I will write. I am writing, incomplete verb form. As an Adam, all are dying. Yeah, it's also, yeah, it is kind of the incomplete verb form too. But there's a little aorist thrown in there, no horizon. You can't see where it begins, can't see where it ends. You just know that it's happening now. So guess what's happening now? Death. We're all mortal. Therefore, the first death is, do you know what the first death is? You're not in the first death. You're in the first mortality. I don't know who made this up. And again, it came from bad translations and bad doctrine. The first death is when you go to a funeral home and you see the corpse lying there in the box, and it's not even having the decency to get up and greet you and thank you for coming. No, that's the first death. It's when you die. Otherwise, if I think that the first death is a spiritual death that we're in now, then I'm tempted to think that the second death is also a spiritual death, during which time people are alive. So I have to define the first death for you in order to bring home the second death for you. And the second death is more of the first. That's what I like to call it. You know me, a I like to get things down to their basics, and I love giving plain statements. And my plain statement here today is that the definition of the second death is this: it's just like the first death, only more of it. I love that. Do you like that, Judy? Yeah, Judy likes it too. It's just more of it. It's another funeral. It's another corpse not able to get up and greet you. That's the second death. So now you know what the first death is. The first death is future for many of us. Some of us, we're not, well, those of us in the body of Christ, we're going to be snatched away. We shall not all die, Paul says, which is another testimony to the genius translation of 1 Corinthians 15. It's either 21 or 22, as an animal or dying. King James says, as an animal, die. Not true. Some people won't die. So the King James is false there, isn't it? Because they didn't recognize the tense, did they? All die. No, not all are going to die. Some are going to remain alive. All are dying. That's true. We're dying right now, but we're not going to die. That's cool. That's a sweet truth. No, truth, not tooth. So look, that's the first death. That's the second death. I'm not done talking about the second death. Don't worry, I got lots to go here. And that's spiritual Israel. It's not spiritual Israel. You're metaphoric Israel. You're not an actual Israelite. You might be, in which case you're a literal Israelite. Congratulations. Great. But all these Christians who call themselves spiritual Israel, how dare you? How presumptuous of you. You're just a metaphor. Sorry. Oh, Harold, we're just a metaphor. Get used to it. You'll be all right. And so get rid of the phrase spiritual death also. We're not spiritually dying. We're lacking. Let's just say, call it for what it is. Why invent a phrase when we have words of Scripture? We're dying. As an Adam, all are dying. This is not a spiritual death because we're spiritual. Right, we have spirituality in us, and we know that the Spirit of God makes his home in us, but that doesn't stop this process of mortality that's going on in our physical frames. It doesn't. So, I used to tell, this is my shame though, I used to tell people, you're spiritually dead, come to life. I was using Jesus' phrase, let the dead bury their own dead. Oh, they must be spiritually dead because they're not getting the things of God. But then I realized what a treacherous phrase that was. It's too tempting, based on that phrase, to make the dead alive. So I saw the mistake of my ways. I do not call anyone spiritually dead now because no one is. Because, by the way, it takes the Spirit of God to cause anyone to stand on their feet. The worst sinner on the earth today, I could give my guesses as to the worst sinner on the face of the earth today, but I won't indulge that fantasy, that temptation. But the worst sinner on the earth is alive due to the Spirit of God. So they're not spiritually dead. We can say they're dead to the things of God. Yes, that's a viable statement. We can say that they're drowsy to the Spirit. Yes. We can say that they're not spiritual. Yes, we can say that. To me, if the soul, that is the feelings, the emotions, your sensations based on just the immediate things in the way of you physically that you perceive, we can say that someone is soulish. That is, they're ruled by the soul. And if you're ruled by the soul, you're called soulish. If you're ruled by the Spirit, we can call you spiritual. I'll put it this way. If you're like 51% over the threshold there, of seeing things of God, then we can go ahead and call you spiritual. It doesn't mean that you're 100% spiritual, but you're a spiritual person in that, generally speaking, through your life and through your day, the Spirit of God has more influence on you than the soul, that is, the emotions, the things that pull you from this world. I had a great quote from A.E. Nock. I promised it to you on Friday. It was concerning, what was it concerning? Oh, yes, the abolition of death. Those people who think that the second death is a second mortality, oops, they have abolished death an eon before its time. It's true that Orson Welles said, we will serve no wine before its time. That sort of sounds like Winston Churchill too, doesn't it? But no, we will not abolish death before its time. Oh, we will abolish it. Yes, and we will help Christ to abolish death. Isn't that great? We're going to be part of this great abolition of death as we work through the eons with Jesus Christ to reconcile the universe to himself. And that great time will come to pass, which Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 15, 22 through 28, specifically verses 24 through 26. Then cometh the consummation, when he will be giving up the kingdom to his God and Father, and he will be placing all enemies under his feet. The last enemy being abolished is death. But that doesn't happen until then. So don't let me hear about anyone abolishing death before its time. Do not abolish death at the great white throne. But you're doing that very thing if you make the second death figurative. I won't have it. No, I won't have it. Not on this watch.